We're doing the laws of Shabbos, and we had this long break, what they call Bein HaZmanim, between semesters, and so we'll reintroduce quickly. We have the concept that there are 39 prototypes of prohibited actions, 39 Avot Melachot. We discussed that in order for an action to be prohibited biblically, it must be done with intent, and with intent for the action, the physical action to occur, and for the outcome in accordance with the way in which it was done in the temple. So we said in the temple, when they would put out a fire, it was for the sake of creating coals. So if you put out a fire, in order for it to be biblically prohibited, it has to be with the intent of creating coals. If you're just doing it so as the fire doesn't destroy something, that's rabbinically prohibited, that's not biblically prohibited. So we discussed a few different aspects of intent. Sometimes you're missing intent as to the physical attributes. For example, you look at a flower and you don't realize that it's still attached to the ground, and you take it to smell it and suddenly you pick the flower. Now, picking is harvesting, is a biblical prohibition, but you didn't even realize that the flower was attached to the ground. We discussed an application of this. You're walking down the street and you don't realize there are cameras taking your picture. You walk by an automatic door and you don't realize it's going to open. So that we discussed as mitasek. You're doing one thing, you don't realize that something else will happen. So all those will make something either not prohibited at all or not prohibited biblically. We started that with the introduction. Then we discussed the first prohibited task, which is zorea, planting. And we discussed that anything that's supportive of growth would include planting. Watering your plants on Shabbos would also be prohibited. Then we went on to discuss choresh, which is preparing the field or fixing up the field so that things will grow in it. And we said that included in that would also be making any furrow. And then we went on to discuss different adjuncts to that, where the rabbis prohibited certain things because it was so common that you would end up doing an equivalent or a biblically prohibited task. For example, sometimes people would play, in ancient times, they would play with what we would call marbles. In their days, they played with nuts. And then you want to flatten the surface, so you end up taking something to flatten the ground. And flattening the ground is very often preparatory for planting. You flatten it, then you make furrows. So the rabbi said, don't go playing with marbles outside on a ground floor, because you might come to flatten the earth. That's relevant for us, let's say, during Sukkot, when we sit outside. Then we went on to discuss the prohibition of kotzer, of harvesting, which would include picking any fruit off a tree, picking anything growing. If you pick a nana for your tea, that's the biblical prohibition. We discussed the applications with a flower pot growing at home. And, picking a tomato off the vine is a biblical prohibition of harvesting, of kotzer. Then we went on to the rabbinic prohibition of gzera shema yitlosh, rabbinic prohibition lest you come to picking fruit. So the rabbi said, even if fruit is lying on the ground, we're concerned, don't pick the fruit off the ground, even if you're just going to pick an apple that fell to the ground, because you might actually come to picking the fruit off the tree. We don't live in a situation where this is so common. We don't live with orchards all around this. But when people did live with fruit-bearing trees all around them, it was fairly common. I had a Rebbe who used to invite me into his sukkah and sit there picking grapes as we're talking. And he'd tell me this is a fulfillment of the verse in Kings about King Solomon's days, where every person was sitting under their sukkah, under their canopy, picking their grapes. That's a description of peace. So in ancient times, it was common. If you ate fruit, you're going to come to picking off the trees. I once visited in a kibbutz, and then it was a summer afternoon. They invited me for a walk through the orchard. And as I'm walking, and the path gets narrow, and I start having fruit in my face as I'm walking, I suddenly understood the temptation to pick a fruit as you're walking by. You see a luscious fruit, and it seems second nature to pick one of the fruits, which is a biblical prohibition. Okay, we then discussed the use of a tree We discussed that the rabbis also prohibited using a tree because you might come to picking its branches or its fruits. And we discussed the different aspects of placing a hammock on a tree or a swing on a tree, the different aspects of the prohibition of using a tree. And that's where we left off after discussing using the tree itself, using a nail that's in the tree. That's where we left off. And now we continue. The Eze Mechuba Gozrim. Where did the rabbis prohibit using things that really are attached to the ground, things that are growing from the ground? Lo gazru shimush b'mechuba rak b'ilan. Where did our rabbis say you can't swing on a branch, you can't use a tree, specifically with regards to trees? But not aval basavim lo gazru. Our sages did not prohibit coming in contact or moving or using grass, things that are growing on the ground. Obviously, we step on the grass. You cannot lean on a branch. You can step on the grass. And even within a tree, our sages said that the bottom three tefach, three hand widths that are close to the ground, yes, one, two, three, right, that's a, I'd say that's a two-thirds of a foot, yeah? That's about a, yeah, it's almost a foot, yeah? So the bottom three tefach that are next to the ground, there our sages said you're allowed to use that. So if you have a little piece of the tree that's under three tefachim, you could sit on that. And by the same token, you're allowed to sit on the grass. Right? You're allowed to walk on the grass, sit on the grass. What happens if you're playing tag and your kids run into tall grass? So the first thing you have to worry about are snakes. And high grass, there are snakes. Here in Israel, we have poisonous snakes. And every year people die from bites of poisonous snakes. Yeah, just last week, there was a snake catcher that was bitten by the snake. Right? We had here in Kiryat Moshe, we had three times in our house. Snake. A snake catcher, someone summoned the snake catcher, he saw a snake. The snake catcher came, and the snake bit him.
Snake bit him?
Yeah, poisonous snake too. People do die from poisonous snake bites here in Israel. Another good reason why, when you go on trips, make sure someone knows where you are, and better go with someone else. Don't go alone. We do have poisonous snakes here. But in the United States, they also have poisonous snakes. I used to go hiking. There were signs all the time, poisonous snakes. Sure, in upstate New York, yes. Go up hiking on the Rockies. Okay. They have the brown something. I don't remember anymore, but no. There's a brown snake in the mountains, which is poisonous.
But there are a lot of poisonous snakes
in Israel? A lot is a difficult term to define. You know, it happens once in a week. In a country with millions, and everyone hears about it, so it feels like it's a lot.
I saw more poisonous scorpions than poisonous.
Right, there are also poisonous scorpions here.
Okay,
we got to be careful. If you're going hiking, then in the army they teach you, shake out your shoes and boots before you wear them.
Be careful, but if you're driving to a place to hike, you have a better chance of beating your head driving there than
That's true. More important not to drink and drive. Yeah, and buckle your seatbelts. But, so tall grass, there you just have to be careful because sometimes when you run in tall grass, especially if you're wearing sandals, so you could have grass get caught in your shoes and then it's almost 100% you're going to pull out grass as you're running. So that's where you shouldn't let your kids play tag running into the tall grass because of safety issues, and you also got to be careful if you're running in tall grass because sometimes it's almost 100% you'll be tearing out grass as you run. That depends a little bit on your shoes and the type of grass, etc. Okay. וכן אפילו אם הולכים עליהם במהירות קצת צריכים להיזהר שפעמים גם במהלוך מהר יכולים לבוא לידי תלישה. He says, you know, there are types of grass and types of shoes. There are situations where by just walking quickly you could be tearing out grass. So that's not common, you know. What he's quoting here, the Mishnah Brura says, but the Aruch HaShulchan says, it doesn't say in Talmud any rabbinic prohibition of running in tall grass? It's a factual question. You see, when you're running, are you tearing out grass or not? If you're tearing out grass, then don't do it. You know, maybe where the Aruch Shulchan lived in Russia, this wasn't common. And where the Mishnah Brura lived in Poland, it was common. Here in Israel, I don't remember, I don't know, it's been ages since I ran in tall grass. I don't know what our grass is like. I don't know. וכן כשמולכים הגנה של קטנים על הסבים צריכים להיזהר בזה. Another time this might come up is if you're taking a stroller where there's grass. So then sometimes the wheels of the stroller are going to constantly be pulling out grass as you go. So that's, again, it's only prohibited if it's like 99% sure it's going to happen. If it might happen and it might not happen, then it's again a davar sheino miskaven. It's only if you're 100%, if it's a psik reishe, if you know that you're going to end up tearing out grass, that's prohibited. Okay.